Burning Bright.
The final chapter opens where the last chapter ended, in front of Montag's house. Montag is still shocked that the fire truck has stopped in front of his own house when Mildred rushes out and hurries by without a word. She has turned in the alarm, but her friends have also. Captain Betty let the first two alarms go and sent the mechanical hound as a warning, which Montag simply ignored.
When was he warned? I can't think of a warning.
Right after Captain Betty left Montag's bed and they were reading books in the hall. There was someone at the door.
It was probably the hound.
Anyway, Betty forces Montag to burn his own house. He feels a strange satisfaction burning down his own house, especially the TV parlor. Meanwhile, Faber continually urges Montag to escape, but he is trapped. The mechanical hound is after him.
Faber is sitting in the safety of his home and can only listen to what is going on. This must be difficult for Faber. He can't do anything to help. Does Montag escape?
Even better. He kills Betty and then escapes.
What?
When he has finished burning the house down, he stands in front of Betty, numb and dejected, but still holding on to the flamethrower. Betty asks why Montag felt the need to keep books. When Montag doesn't answer, Betty hits him, knocking Faber's secret radio from his ear. Betty picks it up and says that he will trace his friend.
In other words, he'll send the mechanical hound after Faber.
In an instant, Montag switches the safety catch on the flamethrower and points it at Betty. The captain is taken aback for a second, but very soon he continues with his provoking speech and demands that Montag hands the weapon over. Montag refuses, flips the switch, and burns Betty to death. Do you know what is very ironic about this scene?
I have no idea. What?
Betty had always preached to Montag that fire was the solution to everyone's problem. Betty had told him,
"Don't face a problem. Burn it."
And now, Montag did as he was told and burnt his problem.
Right. Afterwards, he tries to escape. Unfortunately, the mechanical hound's long needle gets his leg, which is numb as a consequence. But Montag manages to destroy the hound and threatens the other firemen so that he can escape to the only place he can think of.
Faber's house.
Correct. But he doesn't leave without grabbing a couple of books they didn't destroy. Montag makes one stop prior to his arrival at Faber's house. He stops at the home of a fellow fireman, Black, and hides the books that he has been carrying in Black's kitchen. Because Black was responsible for burning many other people's homes, Montag reasons that Black should have his own home burned.
Thus, Montag activates the plan to frame firemen that he had previously sketched for Faber.
He phones in a fire alarm and then waits until the blare of the siren is heard before he continues on to Faber's. Black's house is then burned down.
That's mean. He takes revenge in burning other firemen's houses. What does Faber think about that?
They hardly have time to speak about it. Together, they make plans for their escape. Montag needs to leave the city immediately, and Faber wants to meet with a printer in St. Louis. While the two men make their plans, the television announces that a massive manhunt has been organized to track down Montag. Faber and Montag discover that a new mechanical hound has been introduced to the search, and that the networks intend to participate by televising the chase.
With a second mechanical hound hunting for Montag, they must be extremely careful if they don't want to be captured.
They are very precautious, and Montag has worked long enough as a fireman to know how to trick the hound. Montag instructs Faber to burn everything that he, Montag, has touched in the incinerator, and then rub everything else down with alcohol. He also suggests that Faber covers the scent with moth spray and turn on the lawn sprinklers.
I understand. This way, they can confuse the mechanical hound's sense of smell and cause him to lose Montag's trail to Faber's house.
And Faber will remain safe while Montag lures the hound to the river.
River? What river?
Faber recommends fleeing towards the river and making it to the other side. If he follows the stream for a couple of miles, he'll find railroad tracks that will lead him to people living in the wilderness. Before he leaves, he takes a cardboard suitcase filled with some old clothes of Faber's, as well as a bottle of whiskey. Montag makes a run for the river, knowing that the mechanical hound is still on his trail as helicopters gather and hover overhead. Montag finally makes it to the safety of the river. The imagery of water, coupled with Montag's dressing in Faber's clothes, suggests that Montag's tale of transformation is complete.
Yes, water. a traditional symbol of regeneration and renewal. So he has shed his past life and is now a new person with a new meaning in life. And that's it? Open ending?
No, but we're almost there. Monta continues his journey just as Faber advised him to do. Soon, he discovers the railroad tracks and follows them. Wandering around, it's as if he's experiencing nature for the first time. He's overwhelmed by the many stars in the sky and the smell of everything. Walking along the tracks, he has the distinct feeling that Clarisse had once followed the same path.
This girl must have had a lasting impression on him if he's still thinking about her.
Mm-hmm. After a while, he sees a fire in the distance, and as he draws closer, makes a strange discovery.
That small motion, the white and red color, a strange fire because it meant a different thing to him. It was not burning, it was warming. He saw many hands, motionless faces that were only moved and tossed and flickered with firelight. He hadn't known fire could look this way. He never thought in his life that it could give as well as take. Even its smell was different.
Montauk finds a group of men gathered around it, engaged in discussion. The group's unofficial leader, Granger, addresses Montauk by name, inviting him to join them and giving him coffee. Granger recognized Montauk from the police search that the men had been following on a small portable TV. Montauk follows the TV report with the other men, and Montauk is shocked to see the mechanical hound hunt down and kill an innocent man. The announcer proclaims that Montauk has been caught and killed, ending the search.
But Montauk's alive. He's in the wilderness. Who do they kill instead of Montauk and why?
They caught a stranger. The police don't want to lose face or the confidence of the people, and hence have targeted a random citizen rather than to admit they lost track of Montauk. The mechanical hound never fails.
Oh, no.
Granger introduces Montauk to a small group of men. They are all intellectuals, some are professors, others are authors or clergymen. Montauk learns that there are more of them, tons of little communities along the railroad tracks, and all of them know a book by heart.
Why don't they keep the books with them or store them on a USB stick?
USB sticks don't exist in that future society, and keeping the books with them would have been too dangerous. They could easily be arrested.
But they can't be arrested for memorizing books, can they?
I'm not sure. They pass down their knowledge of books to their children, hoping that one day there will be the chance to write it down again. When Montauk expresses his prior knowledge of the Book of Ecclesiastes, Granger's happy to tell Montauk of his new purpose in life. Montauk will become the book.
Montauk has started a new life. Does he think about his wife, Mildred, too?
Actually, he does. Just before the war starts and the city is destroyed in a matter of minutes, he thinks of her. But he doesn't feel any sense of pity, nor remorse.
I remember. She's a stranger to him, an empty person.
Yes. Later, the men cook some bacon for breakfast. Granger compares society to the mythical phoenix. Every so often, the phoenix would burn itself to death, only to spring to life again, born anew from the ashes. He hopes that eventually, man will learn the lessons of history and stop destroying his society. The novel closes with the men setting off toward the city to begin the city's rebirth.